Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back at 34 After. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. Happy 4th of July to all of Americans and anybody who is glad, anybody else who's around the world. And they just happen to be particularly happy that 56 men got together on the 4th of July, 1776, and decided to stick their collective finger in the eye of King George and say, you know what, we're mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore. Don Lambrow is one, is a guy who I believe, if he were there on that day, would have stepped up to that plate and would have taken a swung at that and put his finger in the eye of King George along with that. John is an old friend of ours. He's senior political correspondent for the Washington Times, nationally syndicated columnist, and an all-around cool guy. Don, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Good morning and happy 4th of July.
Same to you. What would you have done, Don? If you were part of this gaggle of greats and who didn't know they were great at the time, and but you were part of that group, and somebody says, look, you know, there are 56 of us, 57 with you, Don, now that you've shown up, and we don't like what King George is doing, and we're gonna sign a Declaration of Independence. We're going to declare independence from the crown. Here's where you signed, Don.
Well, I'd like to think I would.
Me too.
Those are very brave men.
I don't think we can really appreciate how brave
they are. We don't really know the degree to which they threatened and they put everything on the line. A lot of that comes through in David McCullough's great book on John Adams.
Mm-hmm.
And, I read it. It was one of the most influential books I ever read because it gave you the history of that period and the and showed in very powerful ways how they didn't just sacrifice, put their sacred honor on the line or their fortunes, but their lives. And any one of them could have been hung, and many were. And
many of them lost everything. I mean, many of them ultimately lost.
They did.
After the war was over, their estates were ravaged, many of them, to the point where their families and their estates were lost. And most of the 56 guys were sort of what you might call almost landed gentry. I mean, probably the poorest one in the bunch was Benjamin Franklin. But most of the guys there were men of means, weren't they?
They were, and it's amazing how America in recent years, I think, has shown a much more increased interest in that period of our country. Certainly the John Adams book, a number of books have been on the bestseller list about the Founding Fathers. And films have been made, been on PBS, George Washington. We saw the cover of last week, Time Magazine, all about Benjamin Franklin.
Well, exactly. Walter Isaacson just released his new book on Benjamin Franklin.
That's right.
We interviewed him on
others. There's a reawakening of interest in the American story, and I think that really shows a lot. It's great about our country, and it's too bad that that hasn't happened really sooner. And but we do it today. We remember the founding of this country, what it means to so many Americans, the people who sacrificed their lives, and how America and the spirit of the 4th of July really still lives and is shaping the world because of what we're doing. People who are oppressed, people who yearn for freedom. There's pictures on the front page of newspapers all across the country of these librarians carrying the American flag as they want freedom from a despotic rule. And so the story goes on a global scale, and America is the shining harbor that keeps that flame alive.
Well, we had Walter Isaacson on the show on Wednesday, and he was giving us a little preview of his book, and it's an outstanding book. And you know, Benjamin Franklin was a very, very important component of those 56. And you know, I don't know if you probably know this, Don, he was the only person who was in attendance and who participated in every one of the significant documents that were created: the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, a couple of others that I've forgotten about. But he was the only one who was at every one of those.
One of the great books I've read in my lifetime was Benjamin Franklin's autobiography.
Yeah,
it's a very thin book. He wanted to finish, do more on, but he ends it really after he became prosperous as an entrepreneur and as a printer and publisher.
Right.
But the wonderful image there of when he fled Boston to get away from this almost the indentured service to his mm-hmm. family and the printing business. And
Don, hold on to that thought. Don, we got to take a quick break. Right, we're going to be right back after these messages, folks. 20 Till Special Music, straight ahead. Kidding you. Star Spangled Banner, ladies and gentlemen, the national anthem of the United States. And, you know, Don Lambreau, I had a guy named Bob Caudill on the show last half hour from the American Legion, and as we were wrapping up with our visit with him, I asked him what the 4th of July meant to him. He almost couldn't get the words out because of the emotion. And you know what? That was my answer.
Yes.
And it is for a lot of people. And I'll tell you, I pray that I never stop getting a tingle up my spine when I hear that flourish toward the end of the Star Spangled Banner. And it's an amazing song. And you know, when you look back, Don, on how this country went together, as Lincoln called it, the Great American Experiment, it's amazing, isn't it, how things fit together. And you know, we've had noble days and ignoble days in America, but somehow it's a country that's come together, and the world is a better place for America having been in existence, isn't it?
It is. I mean, what a history of freeing the continent of Europe twice and going to the rescue of oppressed peoples elsewhere in great and noble causes. I mean, the history of our country and its effect on the world is really something that is alive and has changed the face of the earth. It's a story of just unbelievable dimensions and heroism. Today we remember all that.
You know, Don, there America has its detractors, obviously, and many of them are inside of the United States. But here's one of the things that I like to point out to people. America is the only superpower left in the world. But what if there was only one superpower in the world, but it wasn't America? What if it were China? What if it were Russia, the Soviet Union? What if instead of tearing down the wall in the 87, they built a bigger wall and they built a lot more walls, and it basically, you know, caused the America not to be the great superpower? Colin Powell said, you know what? What other country, and I'm paraphrasing him, what other country after defeating Germany would have given them back their country? What other country after defeating Japan would have given their country back to them? and asked for nothing, asked for no land, not one square inch of land beyond a place to bury our dead. What other country would have done that, Don?
In the tide of history, there weren't any other countries. We were it. There's a debate going on in some quarters about whether we were engaged in empire building. And Colin Powell was asked about that last year at an appearance at and the Archbishop in England and Archbishop of Canterbury, I think, asked him a question about are we engaged in empire. And Colin Powell said that the only ground that American soldiers ever asked was enough to bury their dead. Mm-hmm. And the room got very quiet.
Yeah.
That's the story of America, and that goes on, as we see in Iraq, Afghanistan, and elsewhere. So we are the most powerful nation in the world. And going back to your point about how the story of our country, it is amazing how, through ups and downs, 250 years, how we've managed to hold together. That spirit has always been alive. How we, as people, have got great divisions and sometimes and debates, but we've always come together. We've always, except for brief periods in our history, Civil War, been united. Mm-hmm. I think that's the most important thing we celebrate today, among other things, that unity as a nation. Despite our differences, we're able to discuss them, and we're able to not let our differences so divide us that we go down the dark road of so many other countries of civil wars and brutality.
You know, Don, whenever things happen, I talked to someone who is from another country who was here during the impeachment of President Clinton, and that person couldn't believe that there weren't riots in the street, that there weren't soldiers coming out and tanks in the streets. I mean, and then went to change the government the way we do every 4 to 8 years, and for that to be such a smooth transition. There are hundreds of millions of people in the world who marvel at that, aren't there?
That's right. We have some Iranian.
Hold on to that thought, Don. We're gonna pick back up right on after these messages where Don left off. Stay with us. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate. Happy 4th of July. Remind you, coming up in the hour straight ahead, first up it's going to be me, and I want to talk to you about something that I call We Began With Freedom. It's something that I've written about and that I've talked about for a long time now, and it's how I trace our freedom to be who we are, small business owners, all the way back for several hundred years, and why some other people have been very important in our lives, just not us and those around us right now. So I'm going to be talking about that in the next half hour as we continue our live 4th of July programming. And then in the half hour after that, we're going to be visiting with the resident historian of our Brain Trust, Dr. Bert Folsom, who is going to talk to us. He's going to help us get a little more historical perspective on the July 4th, and he's just an outstanding resource. You've heard Bert on the show many times, and looking forward to getting him back on. Right now we're visiting with Don Lambrow. He's chief political the senior political correspondent with the Washington Post and also a syndicated columnist.
Washington Times.
What did I say?
Post.
Washington Times. I'm sorry. Hey, folks, there's a little bit of difference between the Post and the Times.
Yep.
Don, please forgive me. I know I got 40 lashes coming for that, but...
You're forgiven.
The Washington Times, it just slipped out. Sorry about that. The Washington Times, folks, and he's there. His column's there at least a couple of times a week. And also, you're in 50 or 60 other papers around the country, aren't you, Don?
I am.
Yeah, and what's the article that they can find this week?
Well, this week I did a piece on the Medicare debate going on in Congress, House and Senate bills now going to a House Senate conference to try to iron out differences between the bills and the political implications of all that.
Now, can they find that at WashingtonTimes.com? They can find the articles there at WashingtonTimes.com.
That's correct.
Yeah. And also look for his byline around in your newspapers around the country, too, as well. And check out the website there, folks, if you're out in flyover America and you don't have access to the print version of the Washington Times. Don, you were telling us about an Iranian that, as we went to the break.
Well, our next-door neighbors are from Iran, and hard-working people. They own a couple of businesses. They're in beauty parlors and health spas.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they went back to... his wife went back to Iran with two boys to visit, and when she came back here, she was talking to my wife. Her name is Madi, called Maddie. But it was just wonderful. She just said, you know, she liked visiting her folks. And actually, they had to meet in Turkey because they, for a variety of reasons, they mm-hmm. didn't want to meet back in that country. And she came back, she told us, there's no place like America.
Yeah.
And so I think we may take time to remember the immigrants who come to this country.
Mm-hmm.
Ronald Reagan called the shiny city on the hill. And I'm glad my dad came to this country at 11 years old as an immigrant.
Is that right?
Came here all alone by himself. So these people still come here to find a new world and a new life.
New opportunity to be safe and
to make this country
to follow their dream.
Absolutely. And we remember, of course, as we should every day, the people who sacrificed their lives and their fortunes and in the great wars, who fought for this country and who are the reason why we have enjoy the freedoms that we have and too often take for granted.
You know, I pray that Americans never get that far away from a feeling of obligation and of an admiration for the people who were courageous enough to say, you know what, there's something more important than me, and it's this issue right here, which is my country and how I feel about this country. Whether you and I agree with them or not, that we need to admire and appreciate those people who stood up and said, you know what, this is what I stand for, and this is where I take my stand.
Well, I don't think we will. You know, and I important to remember the 4th of July, 1776, but also 9/11, and I think that brought home again, as we do throughout our history, how Americans respond in times of crisis and unite. That was a moving period for a number of reasons besides the tragedy, but the aftermath of all Americans, and do you remember that time, people standing on the side of the road for miles, holding mm-hmm. candles, vigils, coming together, people of all colors and political views, dropping their differences and singing God Bless America mm-hmm. on the steps of the Capitol throughout our country. It still gives me goosebumps to think of that. And and I think reaffirms how united this country is. And that, remember, they were saying that during that period in the aftermath that we all seemed nicer to one another. I think that was really a great time.
I agree, and I wish we could get back to that.
Us in our country.
I wish we could get back to that every day. Don Lambro, thank you for being here. WashingtonTimes.com. Don't forget to check that out. Don, great American. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Jim. God bless America.
Yes, sir. Got to go for this hour. Stay with me, folks. I'll be right back. Happy 4th.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.